Hello, Gallatin Valley. You are listening to KGBM Bozeman Community Radio at 95.9 FM. I'm Roxana, and this is Desert Oracle Radio Replay. We'll be playing a recent episode of Desert Oracle Radio in a few minutes, but first, let's catch up a bit. Right now, I'm sitting in my car in Sacagawea Park in Livingston. There are some kids playing on the playground. The sun is shining. It's about 10 degrees warmer here than it is at my house, and I just couldn't resist soaking it up. I hope you've been enjoying some good weekends. Last weekend, I was on the last part of a 9-day journey to a few desert areas in Nevada and Utah. I love road trips, and my first stop was at Lava Hot Springs in Idaho. After I checked in at the campground there, I went to the hot springs to have a good soak. Light snow was in the air, and the 105-degree water felt so good. Have you ever noticed that hot springs, especially the outdoor ones, are a gathering place for both locals and for people passing through? This seems to be a long human tradition. Instead of trading goods, we traded stories. And I heard a couple good ones about unexplained experiences. I also listened to fellow travelers discussing what route would be the best to get to various destinations and about other hot springs along the way. You know, our own Valley of Flowers has a strong tradition that goes back before Lewis and Clark ever set foot here, according to several sources I found on a visit to the Gallatin Historical Museum. Wow, the people there are so helpful, especially if you let them know ahead of time just what information you're looking for. Here's an article they found for me from an old issue of the Gallatin County Tribune, written by Annabelle Phillips. The title is Valley of the Flowers. One of the many legends about the Gallatin Valley tells why the Valley of the Flowers was neutral ground as far as the Indians were concerned. The tale was told to early pioneers by John Rashow, a half-breed Indian. It is about deadly enemies, the Sioux and the Nez Perce, who met in ages past in Bridger Canyon. It was war on sight. For 2 days the Indians fought, and the rich earth turned red with blood. Suddenly, on the third day, darkness overspread the sun. A strange noise came from the heavens. The fighting ceased as warriors stood spellbound. Then a sweet voice was heard singing. A white flame appeared onto the top of Mount Bridger. It moved slowly down the mountain. All at once, the darkness disappeared, and there, illuminated in the flames, which were almost blinding, was the beautiful stone maiden, Evening Star. Although her language was strange, all seemed to understand as she said, "Warriors, children of the Great Spirit, sheathe the hatchet and unstring the bow. Shed not the blood of your brothers here, lest it mingle with yonder foaming water and defile the Valley of the Flowers below. There must be no war in the Valley of the Flowers. All must be peace, rest, and love. The Spirit Maiden has spoken the words of the Great Spirit." And according to Rashow, the truce made that day was forever after sacredly observed by all Indian tribes. Thus, peace came to the Valley of the Flowers, over which Evening Star watches to this day. Well, there might be some terms in that article that I just read that might be a little dated now, so I apologize for that, but that is how it was written. There are other legends about Maiden Rock, but right now, as we enjoy this peaceful valley, Here is the recent Desert Oracle episode produced by Ken Lane. It aired April 7th, 2023, and I deeply enjoyed it as I visited Nevada's Valley of Fire and Utah's Kodachrome Basin and Goblin State Parks. I kept thinking about those Desert Fathers. The title is Hoppy Easter from the Desert Fathers. Enjoy!
Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California, now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert. Do you ever look around at the world and want to say to hell with it all? And dig a hole in the side of a desert mountain and just sort of wait it out? Work on yourself, as they say sometimes. Become a monk. Monks were always pretty mysterious to me. Growing up relatively godless and indifferently Protestant in a very Catholic city. And then, decades ago, as a young man, I went to Salzburg for the first time in the special Christmas beer season. And spent so many romantic and joyful nights in the monastery's tavern on the cliffside beneath this castle. That's how I remember it, anyway. Tromping through the snow, crossing the pedestrian bridge over the Salzach River. Goblins and ice sprites beneath us, the stern monks would direct us to the beer steins. The brewery there opened for business 4 centuries ago in 1621. Owned and operated by the Augustinian monks. A decade or so ago in Joshua Tree, Jay Babcock and I started a wandering monastery called the Green Friars. Originally conceived as a stunt to draw attention to one of those dollar dealer, yellow dello, predatory rural chain marts coming to town. But I also dreamed of starting a brewery, giving the profits to the poor, etc. But it wasn't the time. These environmentalist people even turned us down when we offered to be sinister, green-robed security for a fundraiser they were holding up in Pioneertown. All a long time ago. Water under the bridge. A lot of other stuff, too. If you've ever found yourself obsessed with the weird world of the John F. Kennedy assassination, you've probably heard about the wandering bishops, who mix their love of trad religion with all kinds of late-night behaviors generally frowned upon. This week I was at the University of San Diego taking part in this program for the philosophy department, and afterwards at dinner, the Desert Fathers came up. These were monks in the 4th century who left the big cities and the big churches to hollow out some little limestone holes in the chalky cliffsides, and there they did abide until death, which they welcomed. A gloomy bunch. But I've been collecting some of the sayings of the Desert Fathers over the years because there is some humor and some wisdom and occasional poetry in the words and deeds of these sanctimonious masochists. It can be interesting stuff sometimes, sort of like a Zen koan, but the writer has been baking in the desert sun for half a century instead of being enlightened in the shade of the nice leafy tree. So I thought I'd share some of these writings of the Desert Fathers from Egypt of 1500 years ago. I bet some of these monks were pretty interesting people, although no fun at a wedding like Jesus was. For a 2,000-year-old religious movement based on the life and teachings of someone who split his time between talking to spirits on desert mountaintops and hanging out in town with the lowlifes, and attending so many elaborate feasts that he copped to being a, quote, drunkard and a glutton, end quote. Words of Christ in red. Well, it's surprising that the response to his teachings would be to dig a hole and crawl in there and cry all the time. It's true, too, about Jesus of Galilee. The man loved to eat and loved to drink. He loved parties and children and animals and beauty. He loved women, and the women loved him back. Oh, Lord, did they ever fawn over him, kissing his feet and anointing him with expensive oils and perfumes? His closest, dearest disciples and counselors were women, the only ones he trusted with the secret of the kingdom of heaven. Something the church has never quite figured out how to deal with. His benefactors were overwhelmingly women, who apparently controlled their own finances and their own estates. Women who lived an especially public modern life unknown to either conservative Jews or cosmopolitan Greeks and Romans. Just look at the various translations of that quote by Jesus about the feasting and etc., which is one of the handful of his sayings universally accepted by biblical scholars and secular historians as completely authentic, based on its multiple appearances in the Gospels in Matthew 11:19 and Luke 7:34. His accusers were scolds and prudes, the sort of people who sit there on Twitter all day complaining about the deeds of celebrities. Everybody ate food and drank wine in the world Jesus lived in. The complaint was that he enjoyed it. Feasting, dancing, music, conversation, celebration, enjoying the company of the wrong kind of people. Whether women or children or workaday bureaucrats or followers of the wrong religious sect. And the beautiful thing is how he responded, how he summed it up. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet Sophia is vindicated by her deeds. Sophia? Well, that's the goddess of wisdom. She turns up quite a bit in the Holy Bible. Anyway, on this allegedly Good Friday, which wasn't so good for Yeshua ben Yosef or Joshua son of Joseph, it's good to remember that there was a person before there was a religion, and if you read the Synoptic Gospels today, or maybe on Sunday, that person comes across 100% as a real human being who, at the very least, walked this earth with undeniable charisma, or the grace of God, which is the definition of the word charisma. A person who was so utterly drained from the psychic exertion of healing the sick and ministering to the unhappy that he would do anything to get away from the crowd afterwards. And the crowd would do anything to get to him. I mean, they tore off the roof of his mother's house just to get at him again when he had retreated from the mob. He had to get on a sailboat far enough offshore that the people would drown if they got any closer. And he had to shout his sermon because there were no portable PA systems in those days. Although the food and wine and general rhythm of life exceeded our own in every way. Sure, the cops could and would kill you for pretty much anything, but that would also describe the year of our Lord, 2023. Let us read from the often ridiculous and occasionally wise sayings of the Desert Fathers to mark this beautiful springtime in the desert, which they mostly would have wept and moaned about. He said also, just as fish die if they stay too long out of water, so the monks who loiter outside their cells or pass their time with men of the world lose the intensity of inner peace. So like a fish going towards the sea, we must hurry to reach our cell for fear that if we delay outside, we will lose our interior watchfulness. Abba Theophilus, the archbishop, came to the monastery one day. The brethren who were assembled said to Abba Pambo, say something to the archbishop, so that he may be edified. The old man said to them, if he is not edified by my silence, he will not be edified by my speech. Some brothers came to find Abba Anthony to tell him about the visions they were having and to find out from him if they were true or if they came from the demons. They had a donkey which had died on the way, and when they reached the place where the old man was, he said to them before they could ask him anything, how was it that the little donkey died on the way here? They said, how do you know about that, Father? And he told them, the demons showed me what happened. So they said, that was what we came to question you about, for fear we were being deceived, for we have visions which often turn out to be true. Thus the old man convinced them by the example of the donkey that their visions came from the demons, which he also saw, which I guess wasn't a problem. The brothers praised a monk before Abba Anthony, and when the monk came to see him, Anthony wanted to know how he would bear insults. And seeing that he could not bear them at all, Anthony said to him, you are like a village magnificently decorated on the outside, but destroyed from within by robbers. Maybe don't insult the guy so much. One day, some old men came to see Abba Anthony. I guess people were always coming to see Abba Anthony. In the midst of them was Abba Joseph. Wanting to test them, the old man suggested a text from the scriptures. And beginning with the youngest, he asked them what it meant. Each gave his opinion as he was able, but to each one the old man said, "You have not understood it." Last of all, he said to Abba Joseph, "How would you explain this saying?" And Abba Joseph replied, "I don't know." Then Abba Anthony said, "Indeed, Abba Joseph has found the way, for he has said, 'I don't know.'" Abba Anthony said, "A time is coming when men will go mad, and when they see someone who is not crazy, they will attack him, saying, 'You were crazy because you were not like us.'" And that time is now. As you probably already figured out, Father Anthony once went to visit Father Amon in Mount Nitria, and when they met, Abba Amon said, "By your prayers, the number of the brethren increases, and some of them want to build more cells where they may live in peace. How far away from here do you think we should build the cells?" Abba Anthony said, "Let us eat at the ninth hour, and then let's go for a walk in the desert and explore the country." So they went out into the desert, and they walked until sunset, and then Abba Anthony said, "Let us pray and plant the cross here, so that those who wish to do so may build here. Then when those who remain there want to visit those who have come here, they can take a little food at the ninth hour and then come. If they do this, they will be able to keep in touch with each other without distraction of mind. The distance is 12 miles, which is about the right distance between neighbors." Abba Daniel said of Abba Arsenius that he used to pass the whole night without sleeping, and in the early morning, when nature compelled him to go to sleep, he would say to sleep, "Come here, wicked servant." Then, seated, he would snatch a little sleep and soon wake up again. Because he was a complete lunatic. One day, this lunatic, Abba Arsenius, came to a place where there were reeds blowing in the wind. And the old man said to the brothers, "What is this movement?" They said, "Some reeds." Then the old man said to them, "When one who is living in silent prayer hears the song of a little sparrow, his heart no longer experiences the same peace. How much worse it is when you hear the movement of those reeds." And when Abba Arsenius died and went to hell forever, all the birds rejoiced. Boy, within 400 years, these guys were missing the point so badly that they were mad at songbirds and rustling reeds. When Abba Arsenius was at the point of death, his disciples were allegedly troubled. He said to them, "The time has not yet come. When it comes, I will tell you. But if ever you give my remains to anyone, we will be judged before the dreadful seat of judgment." They said to him, "What shall we do? We do not know how to bury anyone." The old man said to them, "Don't you know how to tie a rope to my feet and drag me to the mountain?" Going to town one day to sell some small articles, I guess he was a freelance journalist, Abba Agathon met a cripple on the roadside, paralyzed in his legs, who asked him where he was going. Abba Agathon replied, "To town, to sell some things." The other said, "Do me the favor of carrying me there." So he carried him to the town. And the cripple says to him, "Put me down where you sell your wares." He did so. When he had sold an article, the cripple asked, "What did you sell it for?" And he told him the price. And the other said, "Buy me a cake." And he bought him a cake. When Abba Agathon had sold the second article, the sick man asked, "How much did you sell it for?" "Well, probably not much." But he told him the price of it. Then the other said, "Buy me this," and he bought it. When Agathon, having sold all of his wares, wanted to go, the cripple asked him, "Are you going back?" And he replied, "Yes." Then said he, "Do me the favor of carrying me back to the place where you found me." Once more picking him up, he carried him right back to that place. And then the cripple said, "Agathon, you are filled with divine blessings in heaven and on earth." Raising his eyes, Agathon saw no man. It was an angel of the Lord come to try him and find out how much articles could be sold for in that time. It was said of Abba Amonas that he had killed a basilisk. Going into the desert one day to draw water from the lake and seeing a basilisk, he threw himself face to the ground, saying, "Lord, either I die or he does." And immediately, by the power of God, the basilisk burst asunder. Modern people will know from Harry Potter or whatever that a basilisk is a legendary giant snake lizard reptile of some sort that kills you with its terrible breath. Unless, of course, you can make it burst asunder by being a miserable monk who can't just get some water without demanding God do something. Well, no wonder people are constantly remaking the rules and orders of the monasteries and nunneries. It's hard to make some rules that aren't just plain crazy. Henry VIII used to complain that the monasteries and nunneries were basically like those television reality shows where a bunch of rich young men and women fornicate all the time. Which was true in Tudor England, but who was Henry VIII to complain about that? But it was another reason to take all the monasteries, which he did, and then he wound up selling most of those grand old estates to fund his endless wars. I saw Henry VIII's custom suit of armor at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York a few months back. There were two sets. The second one was a little bigger. Well, that should put you in the Easter spirit. It is said that the ancient world's Easter traditions start with Ishtar, who, according to Sumerian legend, was grief-stricken and goes to the underworld, and naked and bowed low, she is judged, killed, and then hung on display. In her absence, the earth loses its fertility, crops cease to grow, and animals stop reproducing. Unless something is done, all life on earth will end. Ishtar is missing for 3 days, after which her assistant seeks help from other gods. One of them goes deep into the underworld and gives Ishtar the power to return to the earth as the light of the sun for 6 months. And this goes back to tablets dated to around 2500 BC or 4,500 years ago. One of the many ways we say Happy Easter. As Isaacs and across the great Mojave Wilderness, you've been listening to Desert Oracle Radio. We heard some new soundscapes tonight by Red Blue Black Silver, our blessed monk of the recording studio. And I'm your host, Ken Lane. We broadcast on Friday nights, 10 p.m. on KCDZ 107.7 FM in the Mojave High Desert, and on various other community stations from Fresno, California, to King County, Washington, to... Are we still on that station in New Hampshire? I hope so. It's all a mystery to me, really. You can get our podcast on your phone if you've got Wi-Fi or etc. Better off without it, though. Just dig out a limestone cell and park yourself in the side of a mountain until you die, miserably giving glory to God and seeing visions from the demons. And on this Good Friday, it's good to remember that the founder of their religion did not hide in a little limestone hole in the wall for his entire life. What were they waiting for? Some mythical heaven when Jesus said very clearly again and again that the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's right here, right now. And people do not see it. You can sure see it during this beautiful springtime, though. The flowers are blooming, the honeybees are happy. You know, the honeybees are even happy with the invasive weed flowers. They're not as particular as some of us people. Speaking of holidays, it is the first Snakesgiving of the year, so watch your step out there. And good night from the voice of the desert.
Desert fathers, mountain fathers, you know, we have some local people that are very wise about things, and I hope to bring them in to some of the shows farther down the road. Well, this week, there are many events and talks leading up to Earth Day. You can find a guide to events at GallatinValleyEarthDay.org. There is even a virtual talk on April 20th with Dr. Kathy Cripps about foraging for mushrooms in Montana. I don't want to miss that. And of course, there's a fun run on April 22nd, too. In recent shows, we've been talking about Valley of the Flowers chapter of Montana Native Plant Society as part of the events at the Emerson on April 22nd, Earth Day. So please email Gretchen Rupp if you'd like to volunteer or get more information about what the group will be up to that day. You can email her at beesgrmt@gmail.com. Again, Gretchen's email is beesgrmt@gmail.com. Finally, as I promised on the last show, here's my update on mysterious triangles. I did not see any, or if I did, I don't remember. I do remember beautiful star-filled dark skies nearly every night. However, I did have a unique experience while camping. It might fall into the unexplained category. I'm eager to tell you about it, but that will be next week. And in the meantime, I want to know if you have had an experience you can't explain. If you have, please leave me a voicemail at 406-404-6246. Leave your phone number if you'd like me to call you to tell your story yourself as part of that show. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. And once again, that phone number is 406-404-6246. Gallatin Valley, Valley of Flowers, thank you for listening. You'll hear me Sundays at 7 p.m. and a rebroadcast Monday mornings at 9, right here on KGBM, Bozeman, 95.9 FM. Until then, sweet dreams and stay well, Gallatin Valley.
And you know the sun's setting fast, and just like they say, nothing good ever lasts. We'll go on now and kiss it goodbye, but hold on to your lover, cause your heart's bound to die. Go on now and say goodbye to our town, to our town. Can't you see the sun setting down? A baby on one hot summer night. He was the tender and ordered a beer. It's been 40 years and I'm still sitting here. But you know the sun's setting fast, and just like they say, nothing could ever last. We'll go on now and kiss it goodbye, but hold on to your lover, cause your heart's bound to die. Go on kiss. I've walked down Main Street in the cold morning mist. Over there is where I bought my first car. It turned over once, but then it never went far. And I can see the sun setting fast, and just like they say, nothing good ever lasts. We'll go on now and kiss it goodbye, but hold on to your lover, cause your heart's bound. Go on now and say goodbye to our town, to our town. Can't you see the sun setting down on our town, on our town? Good night. I buried my mama and I buried my pa. They sleep up the street beside the pretty brick wall. I bring them flowers about every day, but I just gotta cry when I think what they'd say. If they could see how the sun's setting fast, and just like they say, nothing good ever lasts. We'll go on now and kiss it goodbye, but hold on to your lover, cause your heart's bound to die. Go on now and say goodbye to our town, to our town. Can't you see the sun setting down on our town, on our town? Good night. can't see too good. I got tears in my eyes. I'm leaving tomorrow, but I don't wanna go. I love you, my town. You'll always live in my soul. But I can see the sun setting fast, and just like they say, nothing good ever lasts. Well, go on, I gotta kiss you goodbye, but I'll hold to my lover, 'cause my heart's about to die. Go on now and say goodbye to my town, to my town. I can see the sun has gone down on my town, on my town. Good night. Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done. But no one knows for certain, and so it's all the same to me. I think I'll just let the mystery be. Some say once gone, you're gone forever, and some say you're gonna come back. Some say you rest in the arms of the Savior if in sinful ways you lack. Some say that they're coming back in a garden, bunch of carrots and little sweet peas. I think I'll just let the mystery be. Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done. But no one knows for certain, and so it's all the mystery be. Everybody is worried about where they're going.